Look back at verse 4 of chapter 4, and I'm going to be plowing through this, taking a couple of bypass, but plowing through this wording. Now, where we're headed is, and I want you to keep your hopes going, we're going to look at the chief example of someone who was a friend of the world and therefore incurred God's wrath and who lived in the lust of the flesh. And I want you to see what the ultimate outcome of that is. And I think the greatest example of that in the Bible is, of course, Samson, a believer, a hero of the faith, and yet one who was consumed by his lust. But before we get there, let me kind of finish talking about this friendship with the world. If you look closely at verse 4, the word friendship only appears here in the New Testament. This is the only place it shows up. It's a Greek word that describes a sense of a very strong emotional attachment. Now remember, as we began this series, we're looking at Christ our refuge, and we're looking at Christ our refuge for the tempted. I made the comment the Puritans always said that the wagons follow the ruts. Now, that's an archaic way of saying that your body never goes anywhere that your mind and your emotions haven't prepared the way. And so what this fourth verse says is that when we have a strong emotional attachment to things that are hostile to God, sooner or later our body will follow our mind and our emotions and will go that way. So think about the implications of this verse with me. God says, beware of friendship with the world. What exactly is friendship with the world? In Greek, in the original language, friendship. Isn't that neat? It actually means that. And so I looked in the dictionary. I thought, since it means friendship, what does friendship mean? This is from the Webster Dictionary. Here is the meaning of being a friend or friendship. Number one, one attached to another. By affection or by esteem. So some people are liking people and other people just admire them so deeply and they consider them friends. And so the first meaning of friendship is to be attached by affection or esteem. The second definition of Webster's dictionary, one that is not hostile toward us nor us toward them. So that's the sense of the meaning, that a friend is someone you're not opposing and you're not hostile and you're not against what they're against and they're not against you. And, you know, you're kind of friends. You know, everything's OK. Third meaning, a favored companion. A friend is someone that you favor, that you seek, that you want to be with. You go out of your way to go to things and go through life with them. A favored, as it says in Webster's Dictionary, companion. Number four, one we are showing kindly interest and goodwill toward. In other words, it's the one that you want to do things for and give to and show interest and all that. So that's what a friend is. Okay, look at verse 4. God says, beware of friendship with the world. Using this definition of friendship, because friendship means friendship, what is James warning us about? Well, let me just plug this in, this definition. Are you attached to things God hates? That's a question he's asking us. Do you have affection for something that is utterly opposed to God? That's a real thought. You know, if I went behind one of the finest restaurants in the city of Tulsa, and if I climbed into their dumpster amidst all the rotting, fly-infested stuff, somebody's meal that was medium rare and they wanted medium is probably out there. And I could probably find a real treasure out in that dumpster. But would that be the place to look for it? You know, you can find good things in evil places. But James is saying, do you have an affection for something that's utterly opposed to God? Do you get involved in something God is utterly opposed to because you see some possibility of some little, you know, good thing out there? Thirdly, is the world of the devil and all of its rebellion and lust that is hostile to God looked on affectionately by us? That's another meaning of friendship, that we would look with affection. Can we look with affection at something that is utterly in opposition and hostility and enmity against God? Next thing James says, are God's enemies our favored companions? Now this is something to think about. There are people in our world who have dedicated themselves to the opposition to God. And they do that, some of them through their writings, Some of them through their media in other forms, their music or their video essays. And those people and everything they stand for is utterly against God. They are God's enemies. Are those people and their products are treasured companions to go through life? Do we know the words of God's enemies better than the words of God? And that's something we have to think about all the time. Do we show interest and goodwill toward what God hates? We become friendly with the world gradually. Look how James describes it. Starting in verse 4, he says, he's pointing out, if we're not careful, in James 4:4, he says, you and I can have friendship with the world. Now back up to James chapter 1 and verse 27. Because he's already told us what happens when we get friendly with the world. And that's in verse 27. And that's the second progression that this book brings out. In verse 27, friendship with the world leads to, James 1:27, being spotted by the world. Now, what is being spotted by the world? He says, pure religion undefiled before God and the Father is to keep one's garments unspotted from the world. And is to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. But what is that little spotted part about? Well, that's when we allow areas of our lives to be patterned by the current desires of the world. That's a spot in our life. It's something, I mean, when we allow part of us to be world-like instead of what we're saved to be, God-like, it's a little spot. And God says, I don't want you to be spotted by the world. You wear your beautiful, pure white outfit and you're careful. I mean, Bonnie asked me to light the fireplace last night, which hasn't been lit since, it was cold last time. And I was wearing my favorite warm-up deal, and it's real light colored. And I knew what's inside that fireplace, black soot. So I took that off because I didn't want to stick my arm in there and get spotted. Do you have a similar desire to keep your life unspotted, as James 1:27 says, by allowing your life to be patterned by the current desires of the world? Now, where we were last week, keep going to the right to 1 John 2. Okay, it goes James, 2 Peter, 1 John. Look at chapter 2. Because what happens, look at this progression, when we become friends of the world, we get spotted by the world, and then this friendship, 1 John 2:15, leads us to loving the world. Loving the world. Do you know how you know if you love someone? You're drawn toward them. You're drawn toward their presence. You want to be around them and you want everything and like everything about them. That is what love does. And friendship leads to just getting this gradual spotting by conforming to the patterns of them. This leads to loving them. 1 John 2 says, and look what it says, do not love the world or the things in the world, for all is in the world, and that's our list, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, it's of the world, and this world is passing away. He says, don't do that. And then, that leads us to, look back to Romans 12, all these verses fit together, you're in 1 John, fast reverse back to Romans 12, verse 2, this is what Paul's talking about. People that become friends with the world and they get spotted by the world and start loving the world allow their lives to what? Romans 12, 2, the fourth step in this progression. The friendship of the world leads to the spotting by the world, leads to increased loving of the world, leads to Romans 12, 2, conformity to the world. See what Paul says? Do not be conformed to the world. That is a negative imperative. I command you constantly, don't allow yourself to be squashed into the mold of the world. But what's the positive one? But be ye, verse 2, transformed by renewing your mind. By saying, my mind has gotten into this friendship mode. My mind has gotten into this leading to getting spotted by the world and allowing areas of my life to pattern after the desires of the world. And that led to some form of loving the world, embracing some lust of the world. And this leads to increased conformity to the world. And what happens to those who are conformed to the world? We'll go to 1 Corinthians 11. Because 1 Corinthians 11, next book, just go to the right, is starting in verse 26, is the whole Lord's Supper. It says in 26, as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. And therefore, verse 27, he goes into this long passage about self-examination. And look what he says in verse 32. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we may not be condemned with the world. We are not supposed to be conformed, loving, and embracing the world. And God is constantly convicting us. And when we aren't taking the conviction, he's chastening us. And he goes so far as to judge us. And if you've never read about this, it's 1 Corinthians 11, 27 on. Verse 30 says, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. That's one of three very glaring warnings in the Bible, that Christians can be deeply chastened by God for their unwillingness to turn from friendship, loving, conformity, and living by the lust of the eyes, the flesh, and the pride of life. And God is very practical. He says, if you don't give up that, I'll weaken you. You won't like anything. I'll make you sick. You won't think about anything but your health. And if you persist, I will kill you and bring you home. That's the ultimate form of God's chastening. Now, it doesn't mean every time an old person dies that God judged him. For most of us, it's a blessing to go home. But the untimely chastening death of Christians is a doctrine taught in the Bible. And so that's the reason that we should be careful. And the tragic result is believers like Lot last week and Samson this week got condemned with the world through severe chastening, sometimes even leading to death. But turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. You're in 11. Go back to 3. Look what Paul says. He says, yet their souls, these chastened individuals like Lot and Samson and the Corinthians for all their excesses that they wouldn't repent of, their souls are saved. It says here, yet so as by fire, verse 15, if anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. That means a life lived for self, for the flesh, as a friend of the world. All those things that were unrepented of, that the loss occurs. But verse 15, but he himself will be saved, yet so as by fire. So what's this friendship with the world?